This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Great to have you with us today, Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large for mybroadband.co.za. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here. Well, we are busy driving through Van Rienen's Pass, so this ought to be an interesting test of South Africa's mobile networks.
Yes, it definitely will. Lovely thought, though, driving down Van Rienen's Pass. I like what's ahead of you. There's a lot to talk about today, lots of interesting things happening in the tech world. So let's try address as many as we can in the allotted time. Let's talk about mass Twitter bans in South Africa with influencer accounts suspended. What's the story there, Jan?
Don't know exactly what's going on. Twitter has not responded to my request for comment. But, you know, based on what the Twitterati have been able to piece together themselves and from my own reading of Twitter's policies. So there was some speculation that people who included the phrase DM for promo in their Twitter bios, so people who effectively would sell promotional tweets for money, got banned, got themselves suspended, got their account suspended. Now, the reason that I'm leaning towards that these folks knew that what they were doing was wrong is because a lot of the tweets that came up, the word suspended actually trended in South Africa on Saturday. And none of them tried to regain access to their accounts. They just pointed people towards their new backup accounts. So they knew that they had done something wrong, and weren't even trying to get back into their primary accounts. But I don't think it's as simple as just selling tweets for money. Because Twitter does allow influencer marketing on its platform. But it disallows platform manipulation. And that can be, groups of people getting together and following one another, liking up one another's stuff, retweeting one another's stuff in a coordinated fashion. That is not allowed on Twitter. And I suspect what's happened here.
We're living in very weird times as far as that is concerned, Jan. I read an article pretty recently about a restaurant in TripAdvisor in the UK that got to number one. The only problem is it didn't actually exist.
Yes, I remember that story. It was a couple of years ago where somebody literally wanted to prove was an investigative journalist who literally wanted to prove a point by running a restaurant out of his backyard.
Out of the gallery. Exactly that story. Anyway, let's move on to this other fascinating story, because who would have thought a country of 60 million people at the bottom of Africa could be responsible for the biggest Bitcoin scam in the world?
Yes, this is Mirror Trading International. You remember that? I reported on it all through last year and the latter half of last year and the start of this year as it collapsed. And yes, South Africa has the dubious honor of being the home of the 2020's biggest cryptocurrency scam and certainly the biggest pyramid scheme that we've seen in South Africa to date. The previous record holder was a conventional Ponzi type scheme called Creon. I don't know how many people remember that, from 1998 to 2002. And, you know, that actually the legal process of, around Creon only played out, around between 2011 and 2015 when, people were finally sentenced to jail time. And so, yeah, MTI has, handily beaten Creon's record of 1.5 billion rand. Our best estimates, our current best estimates for MTI puts it at around 9 billion or between 6 and 9 billion rands worth of Bitcoin. But, you know, Bitcoin's price having gone over $50,000 today, that amount is constantly climbing. But at the time, with the price of Bitcoin at the time, it was probably around 6 billion rands worth of Bitcoin that we know for sure had come through MTI, it's probably more than that. It's probably a lot more than that, because the last count of Bitcoin flows that we had through MTI was as of 14 September, thanks to the MTI leaks and a compromise of the MTI website by a group calling themselves Anonymous ZA. And so they probably had a lot more Bitcoin flowing through the scheme by the end, well over 23,000 Bitcoin. And so, yeah, we're probably looking at over 10 billion rand flowing through.
That's a decent amount of money. And then just in terms of, I think we've got time for one more. Australia having to face life without Google. How does that happen?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one, and we're seeing regulators around the world cracking down on big tech. There's an article in My Broadband Now that was published in between us talking about what we're going to talk about today and the show, where Facebook has been invited to come and answer some questions in Parliament, in much the same way as Mark Zuckerberg has been invited to come to Congress. And by invited, you don't get invited, you get told to be there. But Google facing regulatory scrutiny in Australia because the Australian government is concerned for its news industry, and it wants Google to start paying for the content it uses from news outlets in Google News, which isn't the whole articles. It's the headline, the excerpt, and headline image. So it's not a lot. And Google is saying, if you continue down this path, if you insist on this, we will rather leave the country than have to figure out some sort of model to pay news publishers for, you know, the RSS feed of their news.
Are they standing by their guns, the Australians? Are they going to actually deliver on this threat?
I doubt it. I don't think that they're gonna implement the regulations exactly as they stand now. There'll probably be some kind of compromise. Google has already set aside a chunk of money, over $1 billion. I don't remember the exact amount of money. I think it's $1.5 billion US to pay news publishers around the world. Now, $1.5 billion sounds like a lot, but for news, when you start slicing that pie up, with news publishers around the world, it vanishes quite quickly. That said, they have committed a whole bunch of money to actually buy content from news publishers and syndicate it in what they call Google News Showcase. And Google is looking for a model like that, where it supports news publishers, but it gets value in return in the form of actual full-length articles, which it can then publish on its own platform. But that's not really, I think, what the Australian government is looking for. And we'll see if they could come up with a compromise sort of in between that and forcing Google to pay for an RSS feed. That's a slippery slope.
Jan van Meulen, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. I've got to tell you, you must drive down Van Meulen's Pass more often, because that was a perfect, crystal clear, wonderful line. So clearly our cell phone networks are working in this country for now.
Yes, absolutely. I'll let them know that they succeeded with flying colors today.
Cheers, Jan. Thank you so very much for your input this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.